Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
I was joking with Keith before the podcast that I usually get in trouble for what other men do. You know, you better never do that. And I just thought about this ending well and being faithful. And I prayed about it this morning. And you're right, Keith, like nobody has set that model better than us in Jesus. So again, it just so happened in my daily quiet time, I was in John 17 today. And here's what he says in John 17. He says, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do." You're talking about faithful and finishing well. And I got some stories because it is, you know, like a foot at a joint or a broken tooth, it's useless and it's painful. And you know, I have several stories of men that I could not rely on, men that particularly one story in my last church was just sharing a personal example. When I got there, it was chaos. It was fighting, 2 a.m. business meetings. And I knew all this going in. I had a lot of pride, I'll be honest with you, that I said, "I'm coming in and fixing all this." And what the Lord showed me very quickly is he said, "I'm going to send a revived pastor to a broken church." So I was great. My health, my mental, everything, you know, spiritual, I was revived. I was going to a broken church. And the Lord told me very quickly, "I'm going to send a revived pastor to a broken church in order to break the pasture and revive the church." And that's exactly what he did. And I had they were running three services on a Sunday morning and they couldn't fill up one. And so all three services were fighting. It was traditional, contemporary, traditional. And so I led them to go to one service. I just felt like we needed to heal. And I had 18 deacons. And we talked about it in deacons. And we had 17 say, "Yes, we support you." One stood up and said, "I can't support it." And I actually said, "Hey, I appreciate that." Yeah. They left that room and their wives got a hold to them. I had more than half of them and their wives in my office the very next day. So if you do this, we're leaving. And I felt led to do it, but how painful was that for me to not have men stand with me, not rely on men who said they would be faithful, but that weren't. I think you said it, Keith, you said a man never stands alone unless he's making a stand. And at the end of the day, like, I just got to be faithful. That's my job, to be faithful to what the Lord is telling us to do. And how much pain does that cause? And that's why I think about, real last thing I'll say on this, finishing well. And I would encourage listeners to go back and listen to the talk on sexual purity about how fatal some of this falling can be and is for your family. Like, how much pain, if I didn't finish to be a faithful man, would it cause on not only my family, but church and men around me, right? So, so how do we cultivate some of that as we close? How do we cultivate that kind of faithfulness in the church? Maybe there's some men out there that they aren't pastors, they're not teachers. They're just faithful men in the church and along with hopefully their pastors and other ministers or whatever context they find themselves in, how can they cultivate this kind of comprehensive faithfulness in the church? What would you guys say to that?
You know, obviously that relationship with Jesus, which you mentioned and recommend, a close connection to scripture and not just reading it to read it, but a way to apply it to your own life. And, you know, also what I found to be helpful is to be able to, you know, pass along to my kids. I mean, that's the first test of faithfulness is, you know, you can't lead in the church unless you're faithful at home, faithful again. Yeah. Even First Timothy says, this is a faithful saying. So I think we just got to get back to the basics of what the Bible describes in terms of manhood. And, you know, out of that manhood, I think greater opportunities of faithfulness can be extended. You know, he who is faithful over little can become ruler over much. So as we learn the pattern of life and the privileges of life that God gives us as men, and we anticipate the blessing of manhood and what that looks like in other roles and responsibilities, you know, obviously knowing this, a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. To me, that's the picture of faithfulness. So we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to get it right. We're going to, you know, misspeak or or speak in the wrong tone or wrong way, and you know, maybe give the wrong counsel. But I think the pattern is, let's keep being responsive to the Holy Spirit and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And so at the end of the day, we want to please the Father and hear that statement, well done, you good and faithful servant. So I think,
amen.
What we can do to gather men in these kind of environments where they're able to think about where they are, to consider where they are and process where they are, how they can make adjustments, get them in with other men, you know, that can speak into their life. And we're seeing this in different circles that we're involved in, Justin and I, and even you, just this element of a brotherhood that's coming alive and responding together is, to me, is awesome. You know, I'm not by myself. I mean, And the good thing is my sons are involved in intermingling with some of this. You know, they're being caught up without me even having to say a word because of how these other men around them that are faithful men, reliable men, that I take the benefit and blessing of that. Man, these guys are speaking into my son's life, and these guys are helping me shepherd and giving them a picture of what it looks like. So I just think, you know, we can, whatever we need to do, and going back to the simplicity of Scripture and obeying it, to me, that sets the pattern of faithfulness in all of our lives.
Yeah, I think there has to be that assessment that you were talking about, Keith, right? That evaluation of my life. Lamentations 3:42, I think, is where it's at. It says that, Jeremiah says, let us search again. Let's search our ways and turn again to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so there's got to be that constant assessment in our life, looking where we're at, and then determining priorities. One preacher said it like this. He said, everybody has two lists of priorities. There's the one we write down, and then there's the one we keep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, talking about Jeremiah, a man that couldn't rely on other faithful men.
He was living in a land of unfaithfulness.
He was faithful, though. Yes.
Yeah. He had some rough folks around him, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, right. Amen. It reminds me of just the statement Jonathan Edwards made, resolve that men should live for the glory of God. Resolve second, that whether others do or not, I will.
Yeah.
And that's just a call on our life.
Yeah. And I would say to all that about cultivating this in the local church that you're in, and hopefully you're in one if you're listening, but you know, when the Bible says I've searched for a man and found none, my prayer is that he doesn't have to search any further than the context you're in. He finds the man he's looking for. And if that's not your pastor, if your pastor's not doing it, if your minister's not doing it, my encouragement to the men that are listening especially is that you would step up and step out, and that you would start doing it. You know, in 1 Corinthians 16, when Paul's ending that letter, you think about this, endings matter. People remember the beginning and the end of a movie, and the Marvel series, my son and I are watching them all in order, and it's like 40 movies. And so we're it's taking us a while to watch them, but he wants to watch them in chronological order. Well, not chronological order, but the order that they're supposed to be. And even though the dates are all messed up, but, everybody knows you don't walk out of the theater during a Marvel movie, right? Because after the credits is another scene that give you a hint of what happens next. Cause people remember that ending and they hang on to it. So if you think about 1 Corinthians 16, Paul could end that letter any way he wanted. And how does he end it? He ends it by calling out the man. And he says, he says this statement, act like men. In other words, like you're in this church, there's some problems going on. And I always say, like, if churches have problems, they most likely have men problems, right? If you want to have a healthy church, you got to raise up healthy men. And so you ask yourself, well, how does a man act? You know, I know he's courageous, show himself to be a man, but I like to say what a man isn't. A man's not a boy. A man's not an animal. Don't act like a woman. You know, all these things that that you are to rise up. And I think some ending on some strong language. And we want to be encouraging to the men. We want to be, understanding. But at the end of the day, I think men need some strong language. I talk to my sons a little differently than I talk to my daughter. And that bold statement is, all right, guys, this it's time to act like a man. You know, when Russia invaded Ukraine, who'd you see fleeing the country and who raised up, right? You had these, I remember seeing a scene of these older men carrying guns, you know, 7-year-old men, and any boy that could carry a gun and fight, they said, okay, you're going to fight. And here's the thing, like, we got an enemy that's invaded. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We have a real enemy, and it's just time for men to act like men. I think is what Paul is saying.
Yeah. And he said this too, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith.
Yeah. Okay. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, what a joy to say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So man, I hope and pray that your prayer this morning is that I'll be faithful, not just to the Lord Jesus and to my church and to my family, but in all the things that God has given me to do. As Jesus said, I've been faithful in all that you've given me to do. So there's some other resources and some things that, again, that help come alongside your walk with the Lord for your own journey and for your own sanctification. I know, Keith, you want to tell us about a few of these networks that we can, resources that men can plug into here.
Yeah, if you're out there and you're a church leader or a men's leader and want some help, want someone to come alongside and help you, our desire is to shepherd men and come alongside leaders who lead men and try to reach men. So we're here to help. And these podcasts and other resources that we do, other things that we put out and are working on are very important. A couple things that we're doing right now are some retreats called Anvil. We got one with June the 6th through the 8th with Jason McLeod, also doing that again in September the 5th or the 7th. They're intentional. They're helping you work out a discipleship pathway in your own life, kind of taking all that you've learned over the years. And one thing would be your story and the sanctification process God's done. And then being able to use that going back to your own church or community and finding some men and pouring into them. We got a shepherd retreat coming up in September with Pastor Mike Stone, and he'll be working through expositional leadership. And that also means not only preaching, but pastoring. That'll be September the 15th or the 17th at Sanctuary Hills. And he's going to be one of our guests coming up on the podcast that we're going to interview. We got Crawford LaRitz scheduled coming down the road as well. Dave Ryan, who's a business leader of High Res and also one of our sponsors that helps support our ministry. And then Tim Harris, who's the owner of Knoxville Wholesale Furniture, who was really influential in real evangelism and what had taken place. That's where I was called to preach at, was a real evangelism conference in 1999. So it's pretty awesome, just the things we're trying to do. And so just unique interviews, just faithful, godly men that are getting it done, whether they're a pastor or whether they're a business leader, they're kingdom-minded men that are making a difference and their lives are counting. And one of the worst things I think we can do is to live as though we never lived. It exists. There's been no impact, no influence, no leadership, no guidance. That's an unfaithful man. It's painful, a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And no wife wants that. No daughter or son wants that. No church family wants that. No community needs that. So, man, I pray if you listen to this day and got to the end of this thing, let's stay faithful and get after it, be what God wants us to be.
Amen. Amen. Oh, man, I appreciate you listening. Women, if you're listening, we appreciate you listening. I tell you, when I went back to my walk with my wife yesterday and she was, just frustrated about another pastor falling, if you will. It wasn't her comment to me. It wasn't, I think you're going to do this. But there's that added support of accountability that my wife's desire for me as well as her husband and a father to the kids is to be faithful. And I just know as a man, I need all the help I can get. And I want to get all the resources I can get. So I pray that you men will plug into the Real Momentum stuff and find the resources. The copy of the 10 Lessons of Biblical Masculinity have been profound in my life and the men in our church's life. So we want you to go to be the man that God has called you to be and to be faithful in that and to be faithful to take other men with you.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.